Okay, well, let's go ahead and start this meeting, everybody. Wanted to call this meeting to order, and again, like Commissioner Jean-Marie had stated, if you could mute your phone, it would be greatly appreciated. I know teleconference meetings are hard at best because everybody's trying to, you know, unmute and get their comments in and, you know, so forth and so on, but to do your best would be wonderful. So we called this meeting into order, so I would like to start by taking roll call of the board, and I'll work out into the membership and audience. So, Art Stevenson, are you here?
Here.
Derek Stevenson, are you here? Derek Stevenson, are you here? Okay. Jerry Bird, are you here?
Here.
Okay. Steve Gordon, are you here?
Here.
Steve Jackson, are you here?
I'm right here, Steve Jackson.
Okay, and I am here, Randy Hout, I'm here. We do have a quorum. I'll call on Derek Stevenson again. Derek, are you here? Okay, then we'll move into the membership. Lynn James, are you present?
Yes, present.
Okay, Kathy Colley-Dominique, are you present? Kathy Colley-Dominique, are you present? Okay, Char McKenzie Hawkins, are you present? Okay, Char McKenzie Hawkins, are you present? All right, Harold Young, are you present?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Salvador Brazna, are you present? Salvador Brazna, are you present? Tessa Brown, are you present?
I am.
Thank you. And Carol Kenny, are you present?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. And LaWanda Miranda, are you present?
Present.
Have I left anybody out? Okay. Has anybody from the board, BECC, and or manager joined in that I have not called up? Okay. Audience, is there anybody that would like to announce their presence?
Well, I'm Jean Marie. I'm here.
Jean Marie,
my invitation.
And James Edward Strong.
Hey, James. Welcome. Welcome. Anybody else? Okay. So let's go ahead and call this, well, we've called the meeting already to order, and thank you everybody for joining us. I know this is going to be a meeting that discusses primarily the issues that recently came up, so we called this emergency meeting, and then our regularly scheduled meeting will start at 3 o'clock. I projected this meeting to last an hour. It may not go that long. And for those of you on the line, I hope to continue on. If we end up hanging up, I hope to have you call back in at 3 o'clock. But I do want to start this out by saying that in November 15th, during a BECC meeting, close to the end of the meeting, I had discussions with Director Eric Morris about the operating agreement, knowing that the operating agreement was just right around the corner, wanted to make sure that we weren't going to run into the situation that we appear to run into now. And so I asked Eric at that time if everybody would be sent an operating agreement, and that was, I think, verbatim. I said, so I know Eric is running for the bus, but I'd like to get an answer. So, Eric, will you be sending the operating agreement to all managers and in December like you have this year? Eric Morris said yes. So I'm not sure what's changed between then and now, but I had been contacted by at least four licensed blind vendors, I believe it was five, excuse me, licensed blind vendors sharing concerns about their operating agreement being withheld. And I know it has provided a lot of stress and strain on these people because your operating agreement is closely connected with our livelihoods. And so, I was requested to conduct and call for a special meeting. So hopefully we can get the issues resolved that were brought forward and understand why the issues are here. I do know that some of the charges that are being levied go back to as far as 2011. So the thought would be, if these are from 2011, why now are the license blind vendors operating agreements being held hostage? So they're from 2014, again, the same question. So, Eric, I would welcome you to, if you'd like to at this time, to overview. I know that you mentioned yesterday you had talked to everybody that the agency claims owes past due set aside and that the agency is withholding operating agreements on. So, can you overview the membership on, what happened from November when you said everybody would be receiving their operating agreement to now where some aren't? And can you, without identifying by name, can you tell us how many operating agreements are not being, are being withheld?
Yeah, Randy, I can speak to that. Hang on one second. I'm just trying to take a drink real quick. So I don't recall the November 15th meeting. I haven't went back and looked at that verbatim, but I'll take your word on it. Before, right, on the before the last meeting, I think the 10th, on the 12th, on 12:30, I sent a note out to you guys as part of my director's report saying, hey, here's, in fact, if you look at that director's report, and I'm assuming everybody's reading it, so it talks about how, and I'll go back and answer your question in a second. It talks about how we're going to get set aside taken care of because, over the years since I've been here, from the very beginning and all throughout the time I've been here, past due set aside has been a major bone of contention with specific people and different boards that, the different boards that have been in place since I've been here. So we've been trying, the agency's been trying to get our hands wrapped around this so that we can have accurate accounting and accurate transparency to the managers, because all along I've said it's really important that you guys get a statement. I mean, because you guys get invoiced every month, but that doesn't really tell you, did we get your check? Did your check not get here? It never gave any of that information. So in December, accounting was able to finally get the monthly statements ready for prime time. And so I think that's probably the difference between middle of November and December. And so that's why I put that in my director's report, that I'd be contacting people as we head into the new year and as people get their compliance stuff in place to try to go back through. And some of this stuff is really old, and I'm not happy about that in any way, shape, or form, but it is accurate. And that's what we're trying to ensure, is that what our records reflect is what the manager's records reflect. And I know we had originally eight people that I talked to, and since then we've sent out two operating agreements from those eight people. I think four people requested an itemized breakdown of reports they've sent, invoices they've been sent, or reports they've sent to us, invoices we've sent to them, and how they were applied to their account. So accounting is diligently working on compiling that, and that's a lot of information going back a long ways. But, I understand the need to show that to people because, if you think you're in good standing and there's all of a sudden you're owing either small amounts or big amounts, then you want to be able to see that and wrap your head around it. So accounting's working on that. There's a lot of big piles of documents forming up. They're going to get sent out as soon as possible. And so that's kind of where we're at right this second. I mean, the the focus on past due set-aside. I know that's important to a lot of people. And the elected committee has said over and over and over again that we need to get that fixed and get it taken care of. So by going through getting these statements in place where everybody will get a monthly statement each month showing what they've sent, what's been applied to their account, what's been invoiced to their account, getting that statement every single month is going to be the pathway to getting this straightened out and getting people either to reconcile their accounts or to show us the documentation that reconciles their account or get into a repayment agreement is what's going to move us forward.
Well, what I would, and thank you, Eric, what I would share is on January 10th, when we ask about the status of the operating agreements, and I believe Derek Stevenson actually asked specifically about his operating agreement. I believe at that time you said you didn't know. And so, again, it's concerning, I think you said you didn't have an update at that time. So it's concerning, like, again, some of these balances the agency is claiming are from 2011. I would hope that the agency reconciled their books quarterly or, you know, at least annually. Some are from 2011, 2014, 2015. And in November, you say, yeah, everybody's receiving their operating agreements. And in January, when we asked, you said you didn't know, you didn't have an update. There was no involvement on this matter from the DECC that I know of. I feel the communication was really limited to none. And so you can probably understand why people may be extremely upset, distraught, concerned about this. And so that's why we're here in the meeting, and I know we're going to hear from others on the line, but wouldn't it have been better to communicate this? I do know that in December 16th, I believe December 16th, one of the documents that we had seen where this was raising its head, wouldn't it have been better to maybe not necessarily withhold operating agreements, but to provide the documentation to those managers who are claimed to be past due on set aside and say, hey, look at our records are indicating that you owe this. And also, along with that, the agency sending supporting evidence that shows and supports the claims. Because what I've seen is it's basically like, hey, you owe us some money, send it in, or you're not getting an operating agreement. And I'm just summarizing that, but wouldn't it have been better to provide that information and give people a chance to respond and provide their supporting documentation and not wait till the last minute where people are being, kept their operating agreement from, So that's, I guess that's my concern. And, how long was the agency aware or working on the new invoice that I think you identified that finally flushed out all the information?
Yeah, Randy, I don't know a specific time frame on the invoice itself. As you know, we've had some changes in our accounting department over the last couple of years, and our new CFO has been in place for, I think she's been here about a year and a half now, and they went through last year and basically reconstructed from the ground up all of the BE set-aside records. So that was a long process unto itself. The actual development of the statement, that's been in place for, gosh, a couple months, 2 or 3 months at least. So, I think it's easy to go back and Monday morning quarterback it and say, you should have done this, you should have done that. The elected committee has been saying, collect this money for years. So at some point, you have to tear the Band-Aid off and say, here's where we're at. Here's what we're going to do. And when I talk to each of these people, and I'm sure they're going to talk about it when we talk today, I didn't call anybody up and say, hey, I'm pulling your operating agreement unless you pay this money right away. I'm like, hey, I'm going to send you a statement that's showing our records, compare it to yours, and then let's talk about it. And so that's where we're at. I didn't threaten anybody in that sense. So,
Brandy?
May I
say hold on just a second. I do want to say, you know, Eric, I don't, you know, why wasn't the committee involved in the development of the new financial report or the monthly reporting? I think that's one concern that I would like to hear. And then the second thing is, you know, you keep, I think, four or five times this meeting you said the elected committee wants has to set aside pay. The elected committee has always said this. Well, that's true, we do. The elected committee says a lot of things, and we want a lot for this program. So for the agency to focus on that and not other issues and concerns we bring forward is concerning. But, again, it falls back on the agency being responsible. The agency should never let anybody get so far behind on set-aside, and they should never have let past dues from 2011 or 2014 exist. So that's my concern. But going back to, and then we'll move forward with the meeting and public comment, but going back to why wasn't the elected committee involved in the development of the form would be helpful for everybody to hear.
Well, Randy, I sent you guys a copy of that in December, and then when I asked you guys to weigh in on it last meeting, you guys voted it down. So I'm not sure what kind of process you want to do around development of it or modifying it, but that's right. I'm going to kick it right back to you.
Well, it was already developed when we received it. So
yeah, but it's an Excel spreadsheet. You can change it in about 3 seconds. And you guys said, no, we're going to vote that down. So I'm a little confused by the process, I guess.
Well, I think the communication just from my, and you can hear from others, just from where I come from, during a meeting, during the previous meeting, the communication should be a little bit more interactive, and you as director should say, hey, look, there's some issues here. We all know they exist, and let's work together to find a way to resolve these. Here's an idea. Let's develop some new monthly reporting spreadsheets, because the other ones apparently aren't doing their job. So I think that's how you started out. I don't believe that you just create a form, you know, send it to somebody, and then that's your participation. But we're going to go ahead, and thank you, Eric, for answering. We're going to go ahead and ask for any public comment, and then we'll move forward with the meeting. Is there any public comment? Anybody like to make
my
a public comment?
Comment?
Yes, Jean Marie.
Okay. Well, Randy, I have to say, and it's a very uncomfortable position for me to be in, but I have sat through meetings where you yourself have been very, very disappointed in Eric for not, not being on top of collecting set-aside. And, you know, there are four other people that I could name them because I took notes. And, you know, his style of communication may not be exactly what you had in mind, but he sent you a form, and you on one level were asked to participate because he sent it to you, as opposed to just sending it to you saying, we decided this. And I understand you guys aren't getting the exact active participation you want, but it seems like there are steps being made a little bit here, a little bit there. And, you know, there isn't anything that I can think of where I've heard you guys tell Eric, and I'm not, you know, necessarily in agreement with what Eric does all the time by any means, but I've never heard this committee say yes to anything he's presented you. And I think that's a tough position to be in. I'll just say that. And this set-aside thing has been an issue since before I was even a commissioner, you guys were talking about it. So there's got to be some way to get everybody's attention and get everybody on the same page. And apparently things weren't done the way they needed to be done. And now they're starting to get done, and they're not doing it right now either. And I just don't know how productive this is going to be.
All right. Thank you. Is there any other public comment?
Chair Byrd.
Yeah, Jerry.
Yeah, I just want to say a quick one. On the form, Eric did send it to us, and it did say in there this form was going to be take active the following month. Once again, you're right. The way Eric does stuff to us has been dictatorship. And that's why we kind of have a little defense set up around us because of this procedures. He didn't come to us and say, let's set one up, let's get together and sit down and write one. He writes it, he sends it to us, and then we kind of have it's hard for us to believe but because of some of the actions on just what's going on. I don't seem to get that Eric's really for our program. Now, the other point of the operating agreement is Eric knows that the operating agreement ends in December. He waited till after that. They should have been asking for this information months before. It's kind of like your insurance policy, you know. It ends at December 31st. Well, January 1st, you don't get that redone and signed and agreed on. You have no insurance. So you're left hanging. And another thing is I'm really disappointed with the agency's way they handle bookkeeping. For them to have something that was that old and then come back after this long, these people had their operating agreement signed last year, must owe the money. The year before they got signed, must owe the money. I have forgot a check before to put it in there. By dang, they get a hold of me and say, you missed this. For them to go over a month, I mean, and not see that they didn't come, and to notify the blind vendor to find out, did it get stuck in the mail? Did you forget to send it? Nothing happens until right at the midnight, 11th hour of our setting sign of our operating agreement, Eric uses them as this. You know, to me, it's incompetence for bookkeeping, and then at the end, it's our fault. You know, it's a simple thing of notifying people each month. If you don't get nothing from the blind commission, then you send everything in. They want to blame everything on us that is us not doing it. When it's just not that way. We just seem to keep getting badgered and badgered. And everything's, you know, did you guys pay that dime a set aside? You know, I have a problem with this program. Has lost sight of their focus on the intent of this program. So I believe it's time that we recognize, and Eric states that it is their fault for not getting hold of this. Why do people have to keep waiting? Why is it all set aside for 4 years? You know, they couldn't have bid on anything. So it affects all of our livelihoods, and it's just mismanagement. They have five people working for us. We have less management than we did before when we only had two. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Is there any other public comment?
Linda Huseman.
Go ahead, Linda.
Yeah, I just want to say a couple of things. The rollout, and maybe this is to Commissioner Moore's issue. I worked, as many of you know, and I hate to reference it often, but it's very clear. I worked with unions, and I can tell you what, had I not issued teacher contracts by the day that they had to start, and actually we issued them in the summer. However, if I had not issued them, or issued some of them because they lacked their licensure for certification, and I suspect Eric can follow this because he used to be on the school board, I would have worked with the union ahead of time and the certificated staff member ahead of time, giving them multiple and multiple and multiple notices before I ever would have withheld issuing their teaching contract for the beginning of the year, at which point there were some that teacher contracts had to be withheld. At that point, after they'd been noticed and we tried to resolve it and we tried to problem solve and everybody was brought along through the process, and I know it takes more time, but it didn't cause an issue when I then didn't issue the teacher contract because everybody had been brought along and communicated with, and that teacher was then noticed and actually had to go speak to the superintendent. I can tell you what, the very next day we had everything that we didn't, what we were missing, and I was able to issue the teacher contract. But the rollout was different. There was not an upswelling of the union. There was, and teachers' unions, as if some of you have ever dealt with them, can be very, very powerful. There was not an upswelling because they had been brought along. It wasn't just an immediate and no one knew. And that's what I'm seeing here is almost a fire situation where gasoline just got poured and people are all going, what's going on? There had been questions about our operating agreements being issued. And they were told yes. They were questioned. Eric Morris was questioned at the beginning of January at a meeting asking the status. He didn't have an update. Now all of a sudden, we're actually, Randy and I are being impacted by the number of calls we're getting, and I don't mean it in any negative way. I feel bad for these people 100%, but I'm having to go through one person in particular. They have a significant illness situation going on in their family. This added more stress to them. And I'm sorry, the spreadsheet that they were originally given, the new invoice, when we tracked down the information and handed in canceled checks from what the spreadsheet, the new invoice said, nope, that wasn't actually correct information. It wasn't that they wanted the 2014-15 information that was on the spreadsheet. They wanted what was back to 2011 that wasn't on the spreadsheet. So now we're on a different hunt for information. So what I can share with you is don't take that invoice as gospel. If you're one of the eight that are receiving your operating agreement, you need to be asking for information because what's on there accounting for what you owe may not be actually listed correctly for what you owe. Get your canceled check, and then you might be adjusted to a new date and time of the amount you owe, which is exactly what happened with the person I helped. So rollout is important.
Thank you. Is there any other comment?
Chairman Sal?
Yes. Who's this? Lynn?
This is Lynn.
Yeah, Lynn, go ahead.
Yeah, is there going to be a special time when the actual managers involved speak, or is that under the public agenda?
You can speak whenever you'd like to.
Okay. First off, I'd like to say good afternoon to everybody that's attending from the OCB staff to the ECC board, as well as any of the licensed line managers who actually attended this emergency meeting. I'd like to briefly start with a little background and try to take you through the last days of my life and my family's life. This started when I contacted Mr. Reismeyer at the OCB agency. I believe it was a little over 9 days, may have been 10 days ago now. I actually called him to find out why I hadn't received my 2017 operating agreement. And he stated that the office had been closed for a few days over the snow, which, of course, we all knew and were going through ourselves. Anyway, he stated, in addition to that, he'd been sick a couple of days. So with that being said, I wasn't at that time overly concerned. But then several days passed again, and I still didn't get my operating agreement. So I contacted Mark again, and he stated that Director Morris had, in fact, sent out some email notifications to all the managers who had passed due set-aside. I commented, well, that has nothing to do with me. And as an afterthought, I never received any notice from Director Morris about any rate set aside at that point in time. Then Mark informed me that, in fact, he said, Lynn, you do show some past due set aside. Oh, well, he could have knocked me over with a feather. He then told me that my OP would not be released to me, as the director had informed him not to release it to me. Okay, that's kind of how this began. And then I went to my voicemail the next day, and I had a call from Director Morris that he wished me to call him, so I did. And we had a pretty nice discussion, but I did dispute the fact that I owed any set-aside, and I still do. I have since then sent numerous emails to Director Morris, copying Mark Reismeyer and also CCing Administrator Johnson on one or two of them. I not only showed my check, my amount, my dates of set-aside that I paid, but I never did receive any acknowledgement of those emails and or documentation at that time. Then, the following day or later that afternoon after I spoke with Mr. Mark, I got a spreadsheet that he actually sent me showing that I am the manager who actually owes for 2 months set aside for 2014 and 15. Now, I provide that private information because I'm not embarrassed by it, because I didn't know it, and I proved I didn't know it. I knew it was not factual, that it was just simply an error in their accounting department. You know, folks, we're human. I mean, we all make mistakes, especially when you're dealing with money. And it's my understanding a lot of this was handwritten in before it became, I don't even know if it's generated now by computer or how, but at the time, back in 2014-15, it certainly wasn't. Anyway, I decided after all of this, I'd go to the bank, and I'd get copies of the two checks and questions again for 2014 and 15. Well, I did. They had been cashed and deposited into the U.S. bank account of the Oregon Commission for the Blind, with their account number on it, which I will not provide again. That is private. It was written on both on the back of the check, and I provided both front and back of both checks. I then faxed those to Dredge & Moore. After I produced those canceled checks, the following day I was sent another spreadsheet that showed that now I owed two more that wasn't on the first spreadsheet, dating back to 2011 and 12. Now, you might remember that was back when Director Walt Reyes was the director back then. Anyway, to make a long story short and pull this together, my husband's deteriorating health and major life-threatening surgery. He had three of them this year. I am at a point where I simply could not take one more day of stress over trying to figure all of this out. So what I did was I contacted Chairman Howe. I asked him to personally deliver whatever money the director said that I owed that was showing on the accounting book, even though I disputed it then, and I still do. Even though I provided canceled checks, I needed my operating agreement, and I certainly needed it then. I didn't need any more time delay while I went back to the bank again. As many of you, some of you may not know, Bank of America has closed down in Lincoln City last year. We're now Cascade Bank there, so I have to actually drive about 50 miles to get to a Bank of America to get these checks again. So because of all that, I just decided to contact the chairman. He so graciously went down and immediately paid what they said I was in arrears for. And I basically need, you know, the time to go ahead and research the other 2011 and 12 at my bank. Now, I'd like to reiterate that up until this last week, I was never notified of any of these set-asides. It's not a question always that a manager is behind on set-aside and hasn't paid it, as much as it appears to be errors in the accounting department and or whoever that doesn't send you a notification of this. And I'd like to remind each and every one of you that this is January 2017. Why in the name of heaven did someone not send out notification that said, "Dear so-and-so, we are showing this in our records. Can you please check your records and get back to us?" That did not happen with me until after I spoke with Director Morris when he called me again. That's been 9-10 days now, but so it was about seven days ago when he called me. And I told him then, I said, "Director Morris, I never received any notification, ever, of this. I would never put myself through additional stress with what I'm going through now with my husband for set-aside." So I'd like everybody to be reminded of just this one last parting thing. You can't pay something you don't know you owe if you aren't told. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Lynn. Is there anybody else who would like to comment?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Gordon.
Yes, Steve Gordon.
Yeah, I'd like to comment on basically reiterate what Lynn said. I know an individual back in the past, approximately 4 years ago, that had got into a situation where they had to didn't pay set aside a few months, and then most of it had accumulated from what they had said up to for rent and other, you know, other charges. Well, it built up and built up. So finally, they got to a point where the amount was just astronomical. And from that point on, they finally got to the place where they made a settlement, and then what I feel is if a person's made a settlement 4 years ago and that settlement has been being paid and not late, then why in the world would you get this kind of stuff, you know, years later and say me, oh, this or that? I know numerous of times I've called and they didn't receive my my set-aside or my checks or, you know, the monthly profit and loss sheet. And it happened over several different times. And I know previously accountants one time, Mr. Bowers was looking for it, and he turned over some things. I was there present. Oh, and he automatically then finds it, or his blotter or whatever. I mean, this is just, you're kidding me. This is an agency that this is how they run business. I don't accept this kind of stuff. It's unacceptable, and it's just hogwash to come back and then try to say somebody owes some. That's like a funeral home calling up, hey, old Charlie didn't pay the rest of his funeral. You know, well, Charlie's gone. It's just ridiculous, and I understand the stress that people have, and myself is under great duress and stress. And it, you know, in cases like this, you know, people should watch what they're doing and be more professional about things.
Thank you. Any other comment?
That's enough.
Okay. Thank you.
Chairman Howe?
Yes.
This is Char.
Char.
I guess I'll just tell my story, too. I had owed quite a bit of back set aside at one time, and I wanted to get current. I wanted to bid on something. So I was given a spreadsheet, and there were some things on it I didn't agree with. And as we were looking at it, instead of deducting my set aside, it actually showed they added it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was quite clear, and then I called Eric, and we went over it on the phone. He saw the same thing. We finally agreed, then got a new spreadsheet with the, it went from like 5,000 to 10,000 or some crazy thing. But anyway, so we finally got the spreadsheet that we both agreed on, and I paid that amount in a check that I had borrowed from somebody else, and to my knowledge, after that, I was current, and I was paying my set-aside, and everything was good. And when I bid on DMV, I did not owe set-aside. Eric even checked that I did not owe set-aside. Now I'm given a sheet of none of my payments, but or even of the $5,000 I paid, but just the amounts that they found somewhere that I owed.
Yep.
One of them was a check that I had apparently written for 2 cents now. Come on, I wouldn't do that. There were unit numbers that I owed money for that I didn't even have that unit at that date. I have asked for a spreadsheet totaling everything of my payments and set aside. I haven't received that yet. I'm not talking about $200. I'm talking about over $2,000 that has suddenly occurred. And to be honest, I'm busy. I'm trying to take the Hadley course. Now I'm going to have to track down all of this and go to a bank where the accounts are closed and get checks and check numbers and all that. And I just, you know, I'm totally overwhelmed. My one inclination at first was just to pay it and move on, and after hearing some other stories, I just, you know, I can't believe that, I don't know. I don't know what to say, but I think I'm going to have to pursue, and I've asked for a meeting with whoever, Gail, and right now all they're trying to do is compile some kind of a spreadsheet. So I do think I deserve a face-to-face meeting.
Thank you very much.
Anyway, thank you.
Thanks. Char, thank you for sharing your story. And
Char
is in attendance. Yes, Is this Art?
Yeah, it's Art.
Okay. Go ahead, Art.
So, anyways, in the state statutes, it says the Oregon Commission for the Blind is supposed to keep an account separate and distinct. And we're getting these spreadsheets that are just partial and stuff. You know, way, way after the fact. I mean, my situation was $153, nothing super major. I found, you know, that somehow Nikki had done the same invoice twice and paid a check, and it was a little under the amount assessed for the following month. But my point being this, the state is supposed to be keeping accurate records, and the state is supposed to show whether these checks have been deposited or not, and we're supposed to come up with all the information to prove them wrong. I think the agency should definitely produce the documentation also, because I kind of question if we do have that account that's separate and distinct, and if we don't, it dang well should happen.
Yeah, thank you very much, Art, and I just want to, I think we have about 15 minutes here, but I did want to interject something. You know, I never hear the agency or Director Morris saying, hey, look, it, we failed our duties, right? We've let all these, I mean, Eric, you've been there 4 years, Daisha's been there in her capacity as 4 years or so. You guys don't come forward for us and say, you know what, we dropped the ball, we failed our duties, you know, we've had trouble counting to three. However, at the end of the day, you guys, you're not getting your operating agreement. And no matter what stress or strain it causes you, we just write some figures on a spreadsheet, and until you pay us, you don't get your operating agreement. So it's concerning. And, yeah, people are disappointed with that, obviously. You've heard the public testimony and the public comment relative to this. So what do we do, right? How do we get this worked out? I will share with those on the line, for what it's worth, I will send out a template request, because like Ms. Heisman said earlier, don't believe what the agency necessarily is telling you, because it has proven not to be accurate in many instances. And instead of putting the onus of responsibility on you as a manager, ask them for all the information, for the supporting documents, for the check registry, for, you know, this, that, and the other thing. If they just want to blatantly say you owe this money, shouldn't it be a little bit more detailed than that? So for what it's worth, I'll send out this evening for your consideration, any of those that want to make sure you're verifying that. And, you know, I do want to ask Eric, I know there might be some other comment on here that I'll surely allow, but before the meeting ends, Eric, food for thought, how are we going to resolve this? How are we going to get people their operating agreements, and what legal premise do you deny providing people's operating agreement with? So I'd like to hear that before we leave. Is there any other comment? Anybody else like to make a comment?
Chairman Howell, can I make one comment real quick? This is Lynn James again.
Sure. Let me see if there's anybody else out there, Lynn. Before we go to you a second time, I'd be happy to. Is there anybody else out there?
Chairman Hoff, could I talk? This is Steve.
Yeah. Lynn, would you hold off just a little bit, please?
Absolutely.
Okay. Go ahead, Steve.
I just want to say that I started a payment program about, I don't know, about 3 years ago. And the initial reason I had to make a payment plan is because Art Marshall decided on his own accord that one of my malfunctions on my espresso machine was a user error, and he thought I had to pay the whole bill. That never got taken off, and then stuff started adding to it. Anyways, I never got any phone calls for 2 years, and apparently I'd missed about 4 payments per year, and so now I'm way behind when I thought I was trying to keep up, but no one ever told me. So I would just like a little more communication so that I know when I'm late or forgot to pay so I don't fall so far behind. And to address what your question was to Eric about what can we do to fix this, I'd really like Eric to think about assigning more vending to the managers so that they have more work to pay for these bills if he expects people to pay bills on time and to be more just on top of it. Thank you.
All right. Is there any comment? Yeah. James, go ahead. Okay, yeah. Well, I'm just absolutely surprised listening to these stories and shocked at the ineptness of the government agency, their record keeping and bookkeeping. And I think that's the first thing that needs to be addressed. Regardless of who is set aside, I think the bookkeeping and record keeping of the governing body needs to be addressed immediately. So.
Thank you, James. Lynn, hold your thought. I'm going to get to you. Is there anybody else out there that hasn't spoken yet that would like to speak? Okay. Hearing none, Lynn, if you'd so like to speak, please do.
Yeah, I'll keep it really brief. I just wanted to reiterate that, you know, you need to send notification out to people and let them know that they owe set aside before you can complain and say that the managers aren't paying the set aside. It's human error, not only in the accounting department's error, but also on the management's error. If we've missed something, wrote a check incorrectly, or whatever, you know, notify us. Don't let this just grow 6 years. I mean, that's a little bit insane for any business. A business would go out of business if they conducted their bookkeeping that way. The second thing I want to mention real briefly and quickly is it's pretty common and has been for years that when I send a check in, it sits sometimes 15 to 16 days before the state agency or the accounting department, rather, actually banks my check. Now, small businesses don't generally, in our case, don't have a lot of funds in their account. So when you're sitting holding on to somebody's check for 15, 16 days before you even bank it, that seems a little bit lengthy to me, especially when if you're banking it 16 days later and then you record it, you're going to be showing that manager is late when they're not late. Their check's been sitting on somebody's desk. So I think that the accounting department does need to start, someone needs to start looking at the accounting department and say, hey, this is our money, belongs to the state. You need to bank these checks within 24 to 48 hours, not 15 to 18 days later. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. Just to weigh in on this Janet LeBrecq, Commissioner LeBrecq, who's leading RSA, her motto is inclusivity and progress. I see neither one of those here, regardless of how it may be interpreted as negativity toward the agency. The agency as administrative authority needs to do their job, right? It shouldn't be about the manager's fault. It should be about who's the responsible person here, who's the responsible party. And, you know, let's do the job and let's work together. So before we go into our next meeting, Eric, you sit there and listen to this. What are your thoughts? How do we take the stress and strain off of people? Obviously, the agency dropped the ball in this, and you shouldn't really be holding people's operating agreements that put them in, you know, this kind of situation. So what are your thoughts as the director of this program, and what premise do you withhold these persons' operating agreements on?
Well, Randy, thanks for the question. I think I said it earlier, the new statements will provide more transparency not only to you guys but to us. And like like Lynn said, we need to be notifying you guys. But I think the other piece is, too, when we start notifying you, hey, your check's late, your reports are late and stuff, you know, people shouldn't be getting all bent out of shape about that as we move forward, too. So we will do a better job of notifying people every month now going forward, not only on set-aside reports, which we've been doing really good on that, set-aside payments and repayment agreements. So, yeah.
Eric.
Yes.
So hold on, Jean. Hold on just a second. Jean Marie, go ahead.
Well, what I'm hearing from some of the people is that the information they got was inaccurate and that they've been able to prove that to you. So I'm not sure.
Commissioner?
I
would say that's probably still disputed right this second. And I'm not gonna dive into individual accounts and stuff, but that's it's not accurate.
Oh.
Okay. So is there anything? Okay. So before we leave, we have open discussion. Is there anybody that would like to make a comment?
Yes, this is Linda Heisman. I'm gonna counteract what Director Morris said. I know for a fact that the new spreadsheet and the new invoice did not reflect accurate information. Canceled checks were provided, and new information was now dating back to 2011, where the initial spreadsheet showed 14-15. So at this point, it is in dispute. And for Ms. Director Morris to say that's not accurate information, I can prove it to anybody. So
anything you'd like to say on that, Eric?
Yeah, the information that will be coming out to Ms. Heisman and the person she's advocating for will tell the complete detailed story, because we've been pulling the massive amount of records you guys wanted, and
Well, I just so you know, Eric, the reason people wanted that massive amount of records...
I totally understand.
Hold on, let me talk. Please don't interrupt.
Oh, sorry.
No problem. But the reason people have been asking for that is because they're very concerned that the agencies withheld their operating agreements. So, again, how are we going to remedy this?
Can the operating agreements be issued while this stuff is being disputed? Because that's a pretty heavy impact.
Well, Commissioner...
not to have it.
Commissioner, I think that's a little bit of a misnomer. Somebody doesn't have an operating agreement, they don't have a contract with the agency to run their facility. That doesn't mean their business is being impacted. It doesn't mean they're not earning income. So once we get all the financial stuff sorted out with each of the individual managers, we will issue their operating agreements.
So, Eric, why are you holding those?
You'll prove innocent.
Hold on just a second. So, Eric, before we go, why are you withholding those then if they're non-consequent?
Good question.
Well,
Eric?
Randy, I think the thing you have to think about with our program, too.
Please answer the question.
I'm going to answer the question. There is very little to motivate people to cooperate in any of this stuff. Now, I'm not accusing anybody of that. But if we just say, hey, we really need to work this out and, you know, come to an agreement and get this sorted out based on your records and our records, a lot of people blow that off. And so that's the way the process is running this year.
It's been non-inclusive, and, you know, you're
running or
dictating. You're talking out of both sides of your mouth. You're saying, hey, look, at the operating doesn't matter. The operating agreement doesn't matter because people are still working. However, it does matter because we're holding it hostage until we make these people pay their bills. Clearly, the agency has dropped the ball when you're saying that people owe from 2011 to 2014. Wouldn't it be more sensible to issue the agreement like Commissioner Moore has questioned or suggested or talked about? Wouldn't it be more sensible to make sure that people have their operating agreements, because they're supposed to be operating under an operating agreement in compliance with the
with the rules of our program, state statutes and so forth. So wouldn't that be more sensible? And then take omission for dropping the ball and saying, look it, let's work this out between each other. Here's the records. Let's see your records and work through that case by case instead of holding that older people dead like a hammer. Wouldn't that be a more sensible way?
I don't believe so.
Chairman Howe, may I say something briefly?
Yes, Lynn.
I just want to say that you know, this is a very difficult position everyone's in. But, you know, I personally do not believe that the managers that I've met are professional business people. You know, they're not deadbeats. I think they just simply want an accounting to make sure that what the agency's showing and what they're showing are the same thing. I don't buy that you have to hold something over someone's gym to pay their bills. We're not children. We're not deadbeats. Most of us have credit, own homes, or taxpayers. So had I known about this, had I received a notification about this, this is 6 years ago. Had I received any information about it, I would have paid it. This is my job and my livelihood. Why would I threaten my only livelihood? Look at it logically. You don't have to hold something over someone's head. This is what they pay their bills with. We lose our jobs, folks. At most of our ages, we can't get another job. So we definitely would have paid this had we known about it, had the agency notified us. I wouldn't go through this kind of stress for any amount of money. I'd go borrow it if I had to. So, no, I don't agree with that particular statement.
So before we adjourn this meeting, I do want to hear from Eric. Eric, what premise do you withhold these people's operating agreements under?
Randy, I think I've explained myself pretty well to this point.
Well, please tell me specifically and those on the line who you're withholding their operating agreements, what legal premise you do that under.
I can't quote a legal premise, Randy.
So how do you make that decision?
I don't know if I have a good answer for you. That's the process we're following.
Who? When you say we...
The agency.
Oh, brother. You mean Daisha Johnson.
Okay, so anyway, is there anybody else that would like to comment before we adjourn this meeting and begin the new?
Jerry Berg, one quick one.
Yeah, Jerry.
I just want to say a common denominator here is set aside. I agree, you know, it is a mandated thing we all should pay, and I agree with everything. However, when you look at our RSA 15 report, all of our set aside does not go to any of the blind people. The agency spends it on themselves. Therefore, this is our money. Therefore, I wonder about the need for set aside. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. I would like to have a motion to adjourn this meeting. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I so move.
Okay, second.
Second.
Okay. Yay or nay, Jerry Bird?
Yes.
Art Stevenson?
Yeah.
Steve Jackson?
Yes.
Steve Gordon? Okay. Steve Gordon?
Yes.
And I as well. Okay. So we are going to move into the next meeting, and I know this is going to be about 3 hours of meeting, but you know what? Obviously, you just heard from the testimony of people who just negatively impacting their lives. So you heard the heart-wrenching story. So obviously, it was an important meeting, and I was honored to call that meeting for those who were here. Thank you very much.